G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
And the Psycho Cowboy Benny Factor.
Don't worry, just panic.
Hello, doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mac Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to Wrestle Radio Australia, where the action is this weekend. My name is Todd Eastman, and this podcast is a little different from any other podcast that we've done, and it's something that I hope I can carry forward through into the weeks and months ahead. It's basically a preview of what's happening this weekend around the country in Aussie Pro Wrestling, because I know when I was just wasn't involved in the industry at all, and just mainly a fan sitting in the sitting at home watching WWE and WCW and TNA and all that stuff, I had no idea what local pro wrestling was or how to even find a show. And hopefully if somebody stumbles on this podcast, they're going to find out what's going on, hopefully in their neck of the woods, and check out a local show, because nowadays, mostly 9 out of 10 shows in Australia are awesome. And you'll go out and check it out, support independent pro wrestling, get hooked on it like I did, and really just get around it and love it. Alright, so what we've got here is I interviewed a couple of people, basically from up here in Queensland, because I thought to start off, I'd start off in my own sort of home territory. First one we're talking to is the director of United Pro Wrestling, UPW, down in the sunny shine, or up in the sunny coast, depending where you are, I guess. This Saturday night, they've got Fight for Life, which is Wrestling for Cancer Research. It's a really cool idea, donating some money to support cancer research, which I'm sure, doesn't matter who you are, there's someone in your life that's been affected by this terrible disease. And talking to Abby Mack, if I can actually say her name right, like a moron. Abby's one of those people that, she's one of the people that I really love in the wrestling business around here anyway, because they're not involved in the in-ring stuff. They're not a former wrestler. I don't think she has major dreams to be a wrestler, but she loves wrestling, and she just wants to do whatever she can to help support it. And that, to me, is what wrestling is about. People getting around. It's a community sort of thing. And it's one of the reasons why I love wrestling, aside from the ring action, is the people that are involved in it and the people that are passionate about it and passionate about making it great. So right now, I'm going to shoot you to the interview we did with Abby Mack. Yeah, I'm joined by Abby Mack, the director of UPW, United Pro Wrestling, up at the sunny coast. Do I say up or down? I have no idea about Brisbane. Is up?
Up.
See, I don't know. I don't know where I live. I don't know. I don't know anything.
I don't know geography.
Yeah, I don't. It's shocking. It's like, if it was not for Google Maps, I'd just be stuck at home all day.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
up.
How are you? Good?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Now that I've worked out where the sunny coast is, I'm great.
See, I can teach you geography. Yeah. Many talents over here.
The worst thing is I've been there. That's the worst thing. I've been there and I still don't know. That's where they told me to turn left.
Mind you, I've been on the coast for over 4 years now, and I still GPS my way everywhere.
Yeah, well, you're from Adelaide too, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I did. I'm actually from Central Queensland originally, and then went to Adelaide for 3 years doing radio, and then ended up on the coast. So, yeah, kind of been around the place for ages. I go everywhere with radio.
Yeah, well, that's that's the kind of the job, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So tell me, how did you actually fall into wrestling?
Through radio, funnily enough. Yeah, I actually met 13 through my brother's girlfriend at the time, and I was having an argument with my co-host about how wrestling was responsible for the women's evolution. And it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, and I was saying, you know what, you know how good that, how great it is that we've got so much women in sports, and women's sport is really prevalent at the moment. And I said, yeah, I said wrestling is responsible for that. And of course, my co-host was like, whatever, like as if you would know if that's the case. Like, I would love to talk to an actual wrestler and see if he'd back up your claims. So I got in touch with a couple of people and did a off-the-cuff interview with 13, and it went really well and everyone really enjoyed it. And about a month later, I had an email back from him and said, hey, how would you like to get involved with the company? And that was over a year ago now, and look how far we've come.
You fool.
It's been,
I'd just rather come to the shows, please.
I tell you what, I do miss the days where I can just sit in the audience and watch and just be a fan. But I certainly love being behind the scenes now and seeing how it all works. Mm.
So this Saturday, you're doing sort of a special event. It's not your normal rock up show where I suppose there's going to be storyline sort of stuff, but it is more for charity, this show. Can you just explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we've been wanting to do something for charity, especially for a charity on the Sunshine Coast for a really long time now. We've been talking about it for a while. Just in the way that UPW came to the Sunshine Coast and the community just backed us like 100%. We have crowds that completely exceeded our expectations, and it's just amazing to see how much the community has gotten behind us. And for that very fact, we just wanted to give back and we wanted to be able to do something. And we sat down and we kind of talked about lots of different charities. But through our discussions, I think we realized that cancer is something that had affected a lot of us, whether it be, you know, a mom, a brother, a grandma, we'd all kind of been touched by it. And unfortunately, cancer is one of those things where you can't just really sit back these days and go, oh, that's never going to happen to me, because unfortunately it very well might, and it may already have. So with that kind of being realized, we reached out to the Wishlist Foundation, who of course are very happy to get on board, and we're going to donate our proceeds from the event and from this huge raffle we're having on the night as well to the Wishlist Foundation, which is on the Sunshine Coast, and we're super proud to be able to do that for the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, I've messaged a couple of the people behind UPW as well and said, I really wish there was some way I could have got on this card just to help out, because it's such a good cause, and something I'm really behind wrestling, trying to be more involved in the community, because the way I see it, and I'm sure you'll know by being involved in wrestling as of the last year or so, that wrestling is really a family.
Oh, definitely.
If you're in a good promotion anyway, the wrestling, everyone's like your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, 100%. And UPW has always been like that's always what I've said the whole time about United Pro Wrestling, is that we do feel like one big giant family. So for every show, there's always an after party. You know what I mean? Like, we always get together, because we do. We spend so much time together training and preparing for events, and then, like I said, the odd after party here and there as well. But we are such a huge family. So it was everybody was so keen to jump on board and do something to give back to the Sunshine Coast community. It was just really touching to see how much everybody in UPW was like, yes, let's do a charity show.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's not just a normal sort of charity show where you've thrown together just matches. There's some really good matches on this card.
Oh, yeah, massive matches. We've got JL Gold returning. He hasn't been in UPW for a really long time, so it'd be great to see him. He's taking on 13. 13 hasn't had a singles win since he lost the title, back in September last year, I think it was. So hopefully 13 gets a win. You never know. But that's going to be a really huge match that I'm super stoked for and I'm really looking forward to. The Stockman gets his first match up against the Retro King, Bobby Bishop. So everyone will be excited to see him take, well, who knows, he might take, but he reckons he's going to take Bobby Bishop to Chokeslam Country. So there's just so many big matches. And, of course, our biggest one is our main event. UPW champion Ricky Rembrandt is taking on Matthew the Gospel Gabriel, finally, after the Gospel has been running amok all through UPW. So that's going to be very interesting one to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, how long have you liked wrestling? Was it something that when you sort of like you got involved in this, you're like, oh, this isn't bad, I'm going to keep going, or is it something you've liked for a few years?
This is something that my brother used to watch wrestling when I was probably 12 years old, I think, back in the day. And I'd come out and I'd be like, oh my God, are you watching this again? Turn it off. I want to watch something else. And then Jeff Hardy came on the screen and I just swooned. What can I say? And I fell in love with the wrestlers and I fell in love with the storylines, and then I was hooked. And my whole family can't believe it. My friends can't believe it. My colleagues think I'm crazy, but it was just one of those things I never grew out of. And being in radio, I was, because it's a quirky thing, like no one expects a 30-year-old female to love wrestling. Like, that's your passion. That's your passion in life. And clearly I'm not a wrestler. I'd love to be, but I've got injuries. Like, I can't wrestle. And it's, they're like, why do you love it so much? It's just so bizarre to me. But being in radio, I've been so lucky to interview people like Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan and, you know, Alberto Del Rio. And it's like, I've had really amazing opportunities. And because it's kind of such a niche thing here in Australia, there are no other radio personalities who kind of, I mean, apart from Rove McManus, but who get wrestling and want to take on these interviews. So yeah, it's been a really fun thing for me to be the person with the quirky passion. And it's very surreal for me now to be sitting back and reflecting on it and thinking, wow, I started watching this on a whim as a 12-year-old, never grew out of it. My brother has since grown out of it, which I'm very disappointed about. but I never did. And now not only have I been able to interview all of these amazing people through my radio career, but now I'm working with a wrestling company here on the Sunshine Coast, and it's very surreal, and I feel very, very lucky.
Mm. Yeah, I was only, last week, I think. You know how you have your Facebook memory things?
Yeah.
I had like, you can see your status for things for bloody... One popped up for me from 2011, and all of it was like, the whole status was like, does anyone want to see a wrestling show with me?
Because much response?
Well, this is the thing that one of my friends, who is now Big Brody Marshall,
mm-hmm.
inboxed me and said, "Yeah, man, let's go and check it out." And we went to our show. We went to the show that weekend, I think. And I think it was a month later or 2 months later, we were both training.
Yeah, I know. So, you kind of like
7 years later, he was on Impact the other week from the International Assault Tour.
Yeah.
And like, I messaged him going, "Can you believe this is bullshit? I never thought this would have been possible."
Well, that's what I keep saying about UPW's training school. Like, we have a lot of people who'll come to our events and then, you know, call up the next day and go, "Wow, I loved it. I want to train. Like, I want to be right in the thick of it." But for someone like me who I can't wrestle, I've got a hip injury, even though I would love to, like, I'd love to get in there just because I feel like it's important to know every aspect of it if you're going to be involved in the company. But for me, like, I've managed to have a spot in a wrestling company, and even though I can't wrestle. So, I mean, there's lots of different things that you can do, and there's different ways that you can be involved. So I think that's really important for people to know.
Yeah, well, like, I'm the same, really. I trained, and just because I was an old bastard when I started, I was 30, I was 35, 36 when I started to train.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not in any way, I was in any way near DDP shape. So there was no way that, and I just kept having niggling injuries and all that stuff. And then I moved into other areas like commentating and then eventually managing and being the asshole that I am on shows now. And that's, I know that I can never be a wrestler. And even though people keep trying to book me into matches, I'm like, I'm not a wrestler. I'd love to, but I can't.
But isn't that awesome that they want to do that? And then you have to stop and go, hang on, guys, no, back up.
Yeah, well, see, I know my limitations. And B, I really do try and protect, like, the Todd Eastman character, if you will. Like, yeah. If I got in there and started wrestling, then I wouldn't be a manager anymore.
Oh, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, if I was to get in there and start wrestling, by God, I would injure someone for sure. Mm. I certainly wouldn't mean to, but, you know, you've got to put in the training and be physically capable of doing it, hey?
Oh, well, I literally say I have maybe 2 or 3 bumps a year in me.
Yeah.
And I don't give them away.
Hey, that's more than I've done, so yeah, you're doing well.
But that's exactly like if – somebody really needs it, or if I think it's going to like enhance a match, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I'm not going to throw it away, because if everyone sees me bump every month, every show, it's going to be nothing. Every time I do it, like, oh, it's just a bump.
And then everyone's going to expect it as well.
Exactly. I love the fact that everyone thinks that I'm about to get hit and then my guy cuts him off.
Yeah. Like, I've been lucky enough that I've been able to talk my way out of situations so far, but I always keep wondering, I keep thinking, oh, God, is there going to be a time when I'm going to have to take a bump? How is that going
to
go?
Well, I remember you, like, panicking when you had to slap someone.
That was a fun night. That was a really fun night.
Being backstage going, have you ever slapped anyone before? No. Like, he that slapped was, my hand.
You were my practice. You yes. were like my practice boxing bag. Yes. That I was remember, really fun. I remember
the first one you hear, so please don't do that. You'll knock him out.
Well, I remember the first time, the first slap that I did, just against your hand, we had one of our guys race around and go, oh, my God, was that yeah, you? Don't do that. You'll hurt him. And then that's when I panicked because I'm thinking, oh, so what? But that's just how hard I hit. Yeah. So
don't do that. Don't do that.
I won't slap anyone from now on. That was a very fun night, though. That was something that goes in the diary.
And it's so bad because, like, I don't think I've never met you before, and I'm here on the mic saying all these terrible things about you, and like trying to like backstage going, I don't mean anything I'm about to say. I'm so very sorry I'm about to say this.
But that's the good thing. Like, I mean, I pick up on a lot of that stuff fairly quickly. Like, I mean, at school I was always the actress and into theatre and singing and musicals and everything. And then through radio, well, radio is the entertainment industry. So I've kind of, my whole life I've kind of grown up entertaining people. So, yeah, it's kind of, I can tell, you know, when you're going to have to say mean things about me, I get it. I can roll with it.
But it's just like I really don't like doing it. Like, in the moment, it's fine. But as soon as after I've said it, like in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, that's bad. That's so bad.
It's hard when you've only just met the person, though.
Yes.
And you think, oh, like we aren't really at that level of friendship yet.
And that's why I kept reiterating to you, like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm going to say some bad stuff.
I've got pretty thick skin.
And the worst part is, you kind of know it now, the way I work, I don't really practice all that I'm going to say when I go out there. I'm like, I'm just going to say some stuff. And it's probably going to be bad, and I really do apologize for this. I don't mean any of it. You're a nice girl.
But the good thing is, though, like, I don't know, you say these things, and if you don't know what's coming, then your reaction is real. Your reaction is true. So that's what I like about it.
Exactly. And, like, especially with that crowd, when I was saying the stuff to say, I could see the looks on their face going, did he really just say that?
Yeah, exactly. And I was relatively new for that show and new for that crowd as well, so that really helped get me over them going, oh, this guy's like really hating on her. She needs to stand up for herself. Yeah, so it was good because then I was able to stand up for myself and pull off a great slap, if I may say so. And, yeah, it worked really well. Crowd loved it.
And I'm sure the crowd are going to love this weekend when they rock up to the Shed, isn't it? It's the Shed
at
Aussie World.
The Shed at Aussie World, it's called Fight for Life. And I think the great thing about being, I mean, our fans go nuts all the time anyway. Like, they always have such a great time. I mean, we've got people like Freddie Gold coming to the show who kids just love to hate this guy. Like, I walked out at intermission last show and had to, like, almost, like, break up, like, this screaming match between a child fan and Freddie Gold who were just going at it. So they just get right into it and everyone gets so involved. So everyone has such a great time. But this time, you mean you can come out for family fun entertainment, know you can bring the kids, know you're going to be entertained, know you're going to have a great night. And all the while, it gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling because you know you're doing it for cancer research, you're doing it for the Wishlist Foundation, and you're giving back to society and you're doing something for a great cause and for the greater good ultimately. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people in our crowd on Saturday night who are there to support someone, whether they're a sufferer of cancer themselves, whether they're a survivor or whether they've lost loved ones. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have a special someone in the back of their mind while they're there and then feel really good about knowing that proceeds are going to be donated in or to help aid in cancer research. So that's a really special thing for this particular event.
Yeah, so if people want to get tickets beforehand, how are we going to do it?
You can have a look on Facebook. You can find us Facebook, Instagram at UPW Australia, or you can head to unitedprowrestling.com.au, and, of course, you'll find all of the links to tickets there, or you can grab them on the door. Doors open at 6:30 Saturday night at the Shed Aussie World, and the action all kicks off from 7.
God, how professional. It's almost like she does this for a living.
Oh, it's almost like I'm a radio announcer.
It's almost like.
It's actually been nice to have a really cruisy. It's weird to be on the opposite side of the questions, to be totally honest.
Yeah, well, it's not really something. But thank you very much for coming on. I'm really glad to have you on. I've been meaning to try and catch up with you for a while now, but with a lot of people, I guess, for a while. But it's really good to chat to you, and thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. Pleasure. Anytime.
Big thanks to Abby Mac for joining us. That was great. Again, Fight for Life, UPW, Shed, Sunny Coast. Hit up their Facebook page for ticket details. Really do get supported if you're up that way, or even if you just want to travel and support a good cause like fighting cancer or cancer research. Yeah, hit up their Facebook page, get tickets, get to the Shed, have a good time. Next up, we caught up with the current reigning and defending Venom Pro Wrestling title champion, the Giant Cody, and he has a massive match this weekend against Bad Luck Fale from the Bullet Club. This dude's had a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. Fought Christopher Daniels just, I think, a week ago in what was, I've heard, was a great match, but a poorly attended match, which is unfortunate for, especially, well, for that whole tour, for, and we'll talk about it on the podcast, on the interview, so I'm not going to go any further into it. But what I will say is Josh is one of my favourite people in wrestling. He's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. Giant man with a giant heart, if you will. Yeah, good bloke and deserves all the good things that come to him. And I'm going to head to you right now, talking to Josh.
I'm joined by big Coyote, by Giant Coyote. You're not just big, you're giant, son. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Sorry for screwing up the first three words I said. I'm great.
Right, no one noticed. This isn't live.
No, it's not live, not at all. I know how to edit this out, he says, dreaming. you had pretty big couple of weeks, and you've actually got a really big weekend coming up. You faced what, Christopher Daniels last Sunday? How was that?
Because you didn't even know what was going to happen. Yeah, I literally had no idea that was going to happen. I was originally scheduled to. I was actually meant to go to Adelaide on the Saturday night, the 19th of May, and unfortunately wasn't able to go there. And then I made the Sunday night show in Brisbane, where I was scheduled to face Elle Lindemann from Japan, and then found out that shit had changed, and going to be working Mr. Daniels. So, yeah, it was pretty hectic, you know. I've been preparing to face, because I've never actually wrestled a Japanese wrestler, like full-blown Japanese wrestler before, so I've been like watching his matches and sort of studying, and then get there and everything's changed.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I said about, Jake Nova was originally supposed to face one of the Chinese guys, and I said to Jake, like, do you know if he even speaks English?
Yeah.
And Jake's like, no. I'm like, well, you might want to find that out, bro.
Yeah, well, I hit up, like, Scotty Haim and Dean Draven. I said, oh, hey, do any of the Japanese/Chinese guys speak any English? And they're like, no, not really. I'm like, cool.
Oh, shit.
Well, good thing we can sort of just go see what happens.
Anyway, that didn't even have to be a worry for you, because you ended up with Christopher Daniels. Yeah. How did the match go, mate? Anyway.
Man, I'm incredibly happy with it. Obviously, I was a bit nervous at first because, you know, I got told with less than an hour's notice that I'd be working him. So I was like, oh, shit. So I sort of jumped on the phone and rang Nick Excel in LA. I was like, dude, I know it's almost midnight. I'm wrestling Daniels. What do I do? He's like, what? I'm like, yeah. So I had to sort of get mentally prepared for it because I was like, okay, this is huge, you know. But honestly, I'm really, really happy with it. It couldn't have gone any better. It was your simple big man, smaller guy match, nice and slow, methodical, told a story. And, you know, we had fun with it. We really enjoyed it. I learned a lot from him and received a lot of really cool feedback. And it also, as you know, I'm very, I'm very safe in what I do, and I often, at times, I can put myself down and feel that I'm not good enough, and I felt that for the first time in a very long time, I was really confident with my abilities and what I can and can't do. So, once I sort of got over things, I took a moment to process everything, I was fine. I was really, really happy with it. So, and I've received some really good feedback from other people who got to watch the match. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a, like, it was very, I don't know how to say it, controversial tour, would you say?
Yeah, it was, absolutely. Like, there was a, you know, it's hard to sort of put it into words what actually happened with this tour. And the fact that when you have such, you know, there were some pretty big names on this tour, like Ryback, Christopher Daniels, you know, Jay Lethal was originally meant to come out, then he got injured, unfortunately. You know, the guys from Japan. There's so many questions that need to be asked why things went the way they did.
Yeah, well, the Chinese guys didn't have their visa, or their visa was cancelled or something. They had visa issues, I heard.
Oh, okay. See, that's the first I've heard about that. See, I think a lot of things with this whole tour is there's gonna be a lot of he said, she said, and people won't really know the true answers to those questions. You know, like the biggest being is where were the fans? Like, not I shouldn't say where were the fans. Where was the advertising? Sort of thing, I guess, is one question. You know, I personally had a lot of guys hit me up who are close friends going, dude, we had no idea there was a show on.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also the price point would have been a bit of an issue as well, I think.
Yeah, of course. And plus, like, you know, the Sydney show ran on a Thursday night and the Brisbane show was on a Sunday night, which is, you know, as I refer to them as school nights, you know. But as I said on the Monsoon page, you know, with all the negatives that happened on the tour, there were still some very good positives. You know, guys that didn't get to work, usual people got to work, you know, someone else. Or, you know, Zeke and Dino, for example, he wrestled El Lindemann. I got to wrestle Christopher Daniels. Jonah got to wrestle Daniels in Adelaide, you know. There's the training seminars on each day, I heard they were attended quite well at the different states. So there's still, I guess, a bit of a silver lining, even though there is some negatives. But you know what I'm like, man. I'm always looking for the positives in life. And,
yeah,
and
exactly.
The way, you know, if you said to me, you know, a few days before that, going, hey, man, you're going to wrestle Christopher Daniels. I'll be like, yeah, no way.
Yeah. So, I'm not sliding at all AWF for the tour or anything. But it's just, it was almost...
It's disappointing. It really is, because... Yeah.
It was almost jinxed, though, when you think about it. You've got Dalton Castle, who got injured, so he had to pull out of the tour. You had Jay Lethal, who, like, the weekend before...
Yeah.
I actually saw that, and that was a massive bump for a concussion and was out of the tour. So, I mean, it really was.
Yeah, there was a lot of issues, and, like, it's, you know, it's very sad for what happened and for those involved, I guess, management-wise, whatever you want to say. But especially at this point in time where tours are absolutely booming, you know, you look at your international assault tours, your progress shows, you know, so much excitement happening in Australian wrestling right now. And I don't want to say that this tour's sort of put a damper on it, because as I said, you've got to look at all the positives. There's some really cool stuff that happened, but it is very, I don't know if disappointing is the word, but, you know, to have the caliber of talent that was on the show not to be witnessed by large amounts of people is really upsetting. Like, for example, you know, you had Jonah Rock versus Christopher Daniels in Adelaide.
In front of people.
Yeah. That was a crime. That's like a world caliber match, man. Like, you know, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So
I said when I saw that, so that's an absolute crime that those two...
Yes.
Performing in front of 30 people.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that's really amazing is how professional and how dedicated the internationals were, regardless of how many people are in the crowd. that they still gave it their all. You know, you hear horror stories when internationals come over and then they're just there for a paycheck.
Yeah, they just run through the numbers, yeah.
Yeah, where these guys legitimately each took the time to talk to the guys, the fans, like, they generally gave it their all, considering the situations.
Mm. Yeah, that's a credit. And I suppose that's exactly what is meant by being a professional. And if anything, that's probably...
Oh, absolutely.
Just seeing that, some of the guys from the local scene...
Yeah.
Will maybe take that on board themselves.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter if you're wrestling in front of, you know, 3 people to 3,000 people. Those people have still paid their hard-earned money to go to a wrestling show. So, you know, like, it can be a nice challenge to wrestle in front of a smaller group because you've got more work put into it then, because people are sort of, like, nervous to make noise or interact with the wrestlers because they're like, oh, people are watching, you know?
Yeah, and instead of a big crowd, everyone can hear you when you're doing
it. Yes! Yeah. So, I guess you just take the good with the bad, but, yeah. So, I just really, like, as I said, I learned a lot from Sunday night wrestling him and just about myself as well. Like, my confidence at the moment is probably the best it's ever been. I'm also feeling I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. You know, I turned 30 on the weekend and, yeah, I've been wrestling now for 14 years. So like, this is what I've been doing for most of my life. So
yeah. It's cool. And speaking of stepping up to a big deals and big challenges, you got another one this weekend with Bad Luck Fale.
Yes, I do. So that's going to be huge, man. Myself versus the Underboss. So
yeah.
It's exciting. Like I really like pushing myself and you know, stepping up to these sort of challenges, and it gives me a chance to. I always feel every time I wrestle, I get better each time. I've also felt since my return from, you know, my time away and everything else, I've just been getting. I've been progressing more and more. I feel also like my character work is evolving. But yeah, like, I feel that, you know, Fale and I are two big dudes. We're going to probably belt the crap out of each other, and the fans are going to absolutely love it because it's not often that you see someone almost the same size as me and we get to work together and wail on each other, you know? And I think that's one of the cool things with, like, big man wrestling. It doesn't happen very often anymore, and it's quite a spectacle when you see two big dudes just, you know, beat the shit out of each other.
Mm. Well, not only is it you two, you've also got Gino Gambino against
Rick. Exactly.
So that's going to be another... a massive heavyweight card when you look at it.
Yeah, and then you got, like, Space and Ugg and... Oh, it's going to be huge. Like, there's some big matches happening this weekend for Venom, and Rip and Juicy, I feel, is going to be incredible. You know, I cannot say enough good things about Rip or Juicy, for that matter, you know. You know, Rip's one of my best friends. He's my tag team partner. Like, we've been trying to get out there more together as a team, and, you know, we just had that match at Prowl where...
I actually just heard Cremator cry then when you said that.
Well, Creamy knows I love him. Sorry, but dude, can you imagine if me, Rip, and Creamy got together?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. No. but that was a really cool thing about coming back last year was finally getting to tag up with Cremator. Like, you know, I had two other matches with Creamy when I first sort of got into the business. One was in 2006 where we had a triple threat match, flaming coffin stipulation.
So it was a scientific match is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, it was great, you know.
Arm locks for days.
Oh, dude, that was crazy, man. It was myself, Creamy, and Scorn from IPW, and the coffin actually had explosives attached to it, so when I set the coffin on fire, the bloody thing went off with fireworks once the fuse had actually finally fizzled out. So
how
that
did
was,
you guys get away with that shit back in the day?
Dude, it was crazy, because the fact we also had the match at the Southport RSL. So, like, it was a nice venue that let us do a, like, weapons match. And I was still in high school at the time as well, so that was pretty funny.
Bloody hell. So you went to school the next Monday and everyone was like, what the hell are you doing?
One of the funniest stories, and I don't think I've told you this. So I started wrestling in 2004. So I was in grade 10 when I started wrestling. A year later, I won my first singles title, which was the hardcore title. And I went to school a couple weeks after winning the title, and we were doing weekly shows then. So I'd be at school Monday to Friday and then wrestling on weekends. And one weekend I went to school and I actually got pretty busted up over the show over the weekend. And I get to school, the principal and the guidance counselor came to my roll call room and they're like, oh, we want to speak to Josh privately, please. And the principal puts her hand on my shoulder and she's like, look, this may seem a bit distressing, but is everything okay at home? I'm like, yeah.
Home's like, fine. It's
everything's good. But why? What's wrong? They're like, well, we're concerned about these bruises and, you know, the cut on your head and stuff. I'm like, that's from a staple gun and this is from some barbed wire and it's from wrestling. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, no, I do professional wrestling on weekends. They're like, oh, so you're not getting beat up at home then? I'm like, no, absolutely not. so it was pretty funny, man. Like, yeah.
All right, well, that is this Saturday night. You're defending your Venom Pro Wrestling Championship.
Yes, I am. So it's at the Showman's Club in Yatla. Tickets are $25. It's going to be a huge show, big night.
Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is at 7, so don't miss out. If you want to get tickets, hit up the Facebook page for Venom Pro Wrestling, and that's where you'll, I dare say, someone will direct you or somehow work it out so you get your tickets.
Yeah, make sure you get tickets, guys. It's going to be a huge night. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I normally don't do it because I'm not booked, Terry, but I might rock along and catch up with you again after the match, and we'll talk a little bit about how the match went.
Awesome. I look forward to it, man. Awesome. That'd be great.
Thank you for coming on, sir.
Anytime, my friend. You know that. Thank you for having me. I'll chat with you soon.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, dude.
Big thanks to Giant Cody for coming on, and go and see him defend his Venom Pro Wrestling Championship this Saturday night against Bad Luck Fale if you're in that area. Hit up their Facebook, Venom Pro Wrestling Facebook, for details on how to get tickets for that one. Also, to find out where the action is around the country, we're going to fly around quickly. In WA, NHPW have Global Conflict on Friday and Saturday night. It's a two-night women's tournament featuring Madison Eagles and a whole lot of other great Australian women's wrestling and some from overseas. And also Jeff Cobb from America will be there. Unbelievable wrestler. If you haven't seen him, get out and check him out. People in Perth, I wonder if the Drawing Heat Boys are there. If they are, give them a shout out. Tell them you heard about it on Wrestle Radio Australia. In New South Wales, the Australian Pro Wrestling Gym are putting on their show this Saturday night at the Club Bondi Junction RSL. Doors are open at 6:30. Show starts at 7. Tickets are $15 and they are available at the door. In Adelaide, PWSA Hardcore Mania 2 is this Saturday night at the PWSA Arena. Paraka, massive hardcore lineup card. Hit them up on their Facebook page for ticket info. And in Victoria, BCW on Friday night, BCW Women's Championship Tournament continues. They have former WWE wrestler Summer Rae and also Lucha Underground's Evilice will be on the card. So that should be awesome. Plus heaps more. Hit them up on their Facebook page for details or go to moshtix.com.au to get the tickets for that show. And finally, PCW on Saturday night at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre. Main event is a hardcore match. Tickets are available at pcw.com.au. Make sure you get out there wherever you are in Australia and support local independent wrestling, because that's what we love. You guys love wrestling. You guys love wrestling is so much more than what's on WWE or what's on TNA, if anyone ever watches TNA anymore. WWE and New Japan Wrestling, just sitting at home watching it, it's nothing compared to what it feels like to be actually in an arena, watching a show, getting around it, and yeah, support Aussie Pro Wrestling. You're going to love it. And that'll do us for this episode of Where the Action Is. I'm going to try and do these maybe every week if I can, to support Australian Pro Wrestling, to support the local shows, to try and get you people out there listening to just get out there and support the shows and really get out there and do just get behind it, because all these guys are trying real hard. They're training so much. They're putting their effort in, and these shows are going to be awesome. To round out this, we have Todd's crappy wrestling song. Well, last week was awesome, actually. It was a Terry Funk song. And to be honest with you, I could not get that damn song out of my head for the last week or so, just driving around work, singing that song to myself. This song has been requested by another person who, very much like Abby, is not a wrestler or not in, but she's very much involved in the wrestling industry up here in Queensland anyway. Barb, if you're on Facebook, check out Barb's photos. She takes photos of a lot of the shows around. Yeah, her and her husband Ed, just quality people, and I really do admire and love these two people. Anyway, she has requested Kurt Hennig and the West Texas Rednecks, Rappers Crap, and that'll do us right now for Wrestle Radio Australia, Where the Action Is.
I like country music, I love country girls, I like Willie Nelson, and don't forget about Merle. There's only one thing that I hate, 'cause it's a bunch of crap. I hate rap. I like NASCAR racing. Richard Petty's still the king. Yeah, they call me a redneck, but you know that's a beautiful thing. There's only one thing that I hate, 'cause it's a bunch of crap. I